talking about decision-making here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and we're looking more closely at this one question. Why are we so often uncomfortable dealing with financial decisions? Why shove that bank statement or that 401k quarterly report in the back of the drawer instead of tackling a money issue head on? And there's a lot to tackle. A recent NerdWallet study found the average U.S. household with credit card debt has almost $7,000 in revolving balances, or balances carried from one month to the next. Do you avoid making financial decisions? Do you try to make them as quick and painless as possible? Do you make decisions in fits and starts? We're at 800-642-1234. Ana Aracela is an associate professor of marketing at the University of Florida's Warrington College of Business, and he studies how we make financial decisions. Ana, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, Kate. Great to be here.
So your research has found that people view financial decisions differently than other kinds of decisions. Can you tell us about that? How do people tend to think about their financial decisions?
Yeah. So when we started working on this research, we had that intuition that there was something different about financial decisions. There are many other areas in life where we make important decisions, like, you know, choosing a doctor, choosing a car, areas where making a good decision requires a lot of information or expertise, but somehow financial decisions felt different to us, and we tried to develop that idea. And our intuition was that the way we think about financial decisions, maybe one way we are so reluctant sometimes to make financial decisions, is that we think of them in a very stereotypical way about the decisions and about the people who make those decisions. So if you try to think of the sort of the prototypical person who works in the financial sector, you know, you might be thinking of someone like the Wolf of Wall Street.
Or, the black suit, right?
That's right. Someone who's a cold fish, right? Someone who's kind of morally and emotionally apathetic. You might be thinking of, Ben Affleck in The Accountant. You know,
all right. I got
emotionally,
it.
Yeah.
Carry on.
And so to the extent that these perceptions, I would even call them stereotypes, influence the way we think about financial decisions, our intuition was that maybe that's one thing that makes us feel removed and kind of alienated from financial decisions. It just doesn't feel like us. It feels cold. It feels different. And we just don't want to do it.
So really incompatible with our emotions. Does everyone tend to see financial decisions as cold and analytical, or are there certain types of people who are more likely to think that?
So very interesting question. We did find one group of people who tended to be less susceptible to these influences or effects, and those were people who either had personal experience or knew of someone close to them who worked in the financial sector. So, if my brother works on Wall Street, I may not have those stereotypical perceptions about Wall Street and about what the whole financial world means, because I have firsthand experience with that kind of person. I know my brother's not a cold fish. And so that group tended to be more resilient to these perceptions and tended to be less avoidant or demonstrate less avoidant behavior as a function of these perception. So that was a really interesting finding.
So you put a face on that world and you come closer to those making those decisions, perhaps.
Exactly. So the more firsthand experience or knowledge we have about a domain or about a social group, the less stereotypical, the less, you know, removed or distant we feel. And that helps.
We're talking with Ana Aracela. He is an associate professor of marketing at the University of Florida's Warrington College of Business. You can join in at 800-642-1234. How do you feel when it's time to make a financial decision about your retirement, of savings accounts, making investments? Do you avoid making those decisions? Do you try to make them as quick and painless as possible? Or perhaps you shove them for another day? We're at 800-642-1234. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. So, Anair, is there any truth to this idea that being a cold, logical thinker will help you make money decisions? Or is this something that's in your DNA?
Yeah, so there's a There's a good bit of truth in the intuition or the notion that emotions often get in the way of good financial decision making. You know, maybe the best example is how we feel when the market tumbles, right? We experience fear, and we know that that's not a good basis for a good financial decision in that situation. And there are many other examples that suggest that making good financial decisions really is best served by analytical thinking, by careful consideration of all the relevant options, by quantitative or having a quantitative orientation, and things like that. So things that are not exactly compatible with intuitive thinking or relying on your gut feeling and so on. So there is a lot of truth in that. But at the same time, when you think about the way our culture perpetuates these perceptions, almost to a stereotypical level. And I mentioned some movies earlier on, but also if you just Googled something like how not to let emotions get in the way of financial decisions, if you Googled that, you would find dozens of articles cautioning people against letting their emotions get in the way of financial decisions. So I think there's a lot we're being bombarded with this message, and I think it really influences the way we feel about the financial domain as a whole.
I wonder if you are an emotional thinker, does that bleed into other aspects of your life as you go about decision making? Does that render itself in the grocery store or when you're shopping on Amazon?
You know, we were really intrigued by that question, and we actually surveyed a wide array of decision areas. So anything from making financial decisions, decisions in a legal context, in the medical or healthcare context, to things like buying a car, choosing a song, and many, many other areas in life where we routinely make decisions. And we found that emotional thinking really had this unique role or status when it came to financial decisions. So there's many other areas, think about making healthcare decisions, that are really important, really specialized, really difficult, or can be difficult. But turns out that people don't have these perceptions that emotions are just not compatible with those types of decisions. So emotions are not seen as inappropriate in those areas of life. And it turns out that feeling that you are emotional or being an emotional person does not prevent you from making or does not make you reluctant to make decisions in those areas as much as it does in the financial domain. So that was really interesting. We actually we found that across domains, analytical thinking or thinking in a cold, kind of reason-based way, is seen as a plus in almost any area of life, with very few exceptions, like maybe choosing a friend or a romantic partner. But using emotions, that's where we saw the big differences. So that's where we found that it turns out that people do not believe that using emotions is a no-no when it comes to medical decisions, or when it comes to to buying a car, even though it's a very utilitarian, very functional type of decision, so using emotions is perceived as more permissible or as more legitimate. When it comes to financial decisions, people really believe that emotions should not be there. So if I feel emotional, if I perceive myself as a person who has intuition, who uses emotion, I might just feel that it's just not my kind of thing. I'm just not that kind of person.
We're studying how we make financial decisions and reframing how we think about money with Anir Sella. He's an associate professor of marketing at the University of Florida. He studies how we go about making financial decisions and other decisions in our life. You can join in at any point here. Have you ever dreaded making a financial decision so much that you are willing to lose money if it meant being able to put it off? What are your questions about making financial decisions easier and not such a big lift? Do you have any tips for how you do it? We're at 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. We'll get back to the conversation in a minute here on the Ideas Network. We're talking about making financial decisions and why we may procrastinate or not be more proactive in this area of life. It's The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. there's another layer to this issue. Women in particular are likely to leave financial planning to their spouses, and that's according to recent research from UBS Global Wealth Management, which found that 58% of women leave those crucial choices up to their male partners. Younger women, those between 20 and 34, were even more likely to defer to their significant others. So how do you feel when it's time to make a financial decision about your retirement or savings? Do you avoid making those decisions altogether, or do you have a system that keeps you on top of your full financial picture? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Anair Sella is our guide. He teaches marketing at the University of Florida, and he studies the choices we make and don't make. Anair, what do we know about demographics and about men and women as to how they make decisions?
That's a good question. In our data, we found very, very small differences between male and female respondents, and that could be chance. Obviously, there are differences, and you mentioned another research that did find differences between men and women. I think that to the extent these differences exist, even though we found a relatively small trace of them in our data, they can definitely reflect these perceptions of self-perception. So the extent to which people perceive themselves as being intuitive thinkers or emotional thinkers, as opposed to more analytical or reason-based thinkers. So the extent to these self-perceptions vary as a function of gender, which they may very well do. That can drive those behaviors. But there's also other reasons, male and female. Consumers might think about financial decisions differently. So one of them, which is related to our research, is these kind of gender stereotypes or gender roles. So again, if society tells me that financial decisions, there's something masculine about the financial domain, then again, I may think of financial decisions as just something that other people do. If I'm a female and society tells me that it's a masculine domain, I might feel like, you know, that's not the kind of thing that I do. I'm going to let somebody else take care of it. There's also interesting research suggesting that couples tend to divide kind of, house chores and other things between them. But that also includes expertise in financial decisions. So a colleague of mine, Adrian Ward at UT Austin, found that that's exactly something that happens. The more couples spend time in a relationship, the more they tend to specialize. And what often happens is that the female side of the relationship will over time become more and more withdrawn from financial decisions, just leave it to their partner.
Well, let's look at perhaps the integrity of these decisions. In the absence of emotion, do we make better or more sophisticated decisions about finances?
Yeah, so like I said before, you know, making decisions based on fear or gut reaction or regret, or more important, anticipated regret, can really lead to bad decision making. This is a kind of turbulent time in the financial markets, and this is one of the types of advice that we hear repeatedly is, you know, don't pull out of the stock market based on fear, based on some kind of herd behavior and so on. So that's, I think that's one powerful example for how relying on emotions in a financial context can lead us astray. Emotions really don't serve us very well when it comes to making financial decisions. They tend to be very analytical. Sometimes they're counterintuitive. Many concepts and principles that are at the basis of portfolio management, for example, are not quite intuitive.
They can be very complex. I mean, looking at your portfolio, it's dizzying, and there are so many different options and choices. And perhaps if you don't have that MBA or that laying that groundwork in economics, it can feel like really over your head.
So you're touching on a really interesting question, because this question of to what extent does the knowledge that I have compensate or can compensate for these stereotypical reaction modes that I was talking about. And I always think of myself in this regard, because I have an MBA with a concentration in finance on top of a PhD in business. But even I find myself reluctant to sometimes deal with personal finances. Whenever I get a statement from my bank, you know, my initial reaction is to shove it in my desk drawer and never look at it again. So it really suggests that there's something that goes beyond knowledge. I'd like to think that I understand financial products pretty well, maybe even better than the average person. And there's actually a lot of evidence that merely educating people does very little to solve these problems of insufficient engagement with personal finances and people's tendency to avoid or just disengage from financial decisions. So it really goes beyond knowledge. Yes, I understand financial decisions. I know about them. I just don't want to do it. It just feels so cold and so maybe boring, so unemotional, so almost unhuman.
We're talking with Anera Sella, an associate professor of marketing at the University of Florida's Warrington College of Business, and talking about how we go about making financial decisions. Anera, let's pivot here and look at what we can do to become better decision makers, especially in the financial realm. What are some tips you would give us? What can we do to help reverse this?
So there's a couple of things that consumers can do. I'm not promising they're easy, but they can do. We have some evidence suggesting that they can be efficient. And there's some things that financial institutions or vendors can do. So as a consumer, like in other areas of life, acknowledging that you suffer from stereotypical thinking, that you tend to have a biased thinking about a domain or maybe even about a group of people. If I'm thinking about financial professionals, just acknowledging this bias, it may not fix my bias perceptions, but it may help me overcome them when it comes to fixing my behavior. So realizing, what you're feeling, the way you feel about financial decisions, it's not because you can't do it. Yes, you have. It's because they have this unfavorable stereotype. Acknowledging that has the potential to help us overcome the behavioral tendency to disengage from them. So that's one thing. Another thing is we found that kind of reframing the decision, not thinking about it in terms of financial products in financial terms. So think about a decision such as picking mutual funds for your 401k portfolio. Instead of thinking of it as picking mutual funds or picking annuities or picking some kind of a financial product, think of it as a decision about how you want to live in retirement. So reframing the decision, thinking about the types of resources you want to have when you retire, or thinking about your goals.
Doing some visualizing, perhaps.
Visualizing, I'm sure, can help. We actually did something very, very minimal. We merely framed the decision. Instead of calling it a financial decision, we called it a decision about your life in retirement. And we gave people the exact same task. They still had to pick annuities in the specific test that we gave them. We just changed the title of the decision, the label. And we found that really alleviated people's tendency to avoid financial decisions, and it had a particularly marked effect on those people who tended to see themselves as emotional and sort of intuitive thinkers or more affective thinkers. Those people benefited the most from this mental exercise of reframing the decision, not as being about finances, but being about their life.
I think you see that in advertising, too, where you see commercials for financial products and you see some beautiful images of people in sunsets or golfing or doing really fun activities in retirement. And you can kind of see what you're saying right there.
That's right. So I think that this certainly has the potential to help. Another thing that I really like that I came across recently is some products, especially apps that... Well, so many products nowadays are apps that sort of help people deal with financial decisions in a different way, in a way that is either more playful or just brings to mind other things. For example, one app that I really like is called Twine, and it's an app that takes a financial decision and makes it a couple's activity. So it's a platform for making financial decisions with your partner, and it really puts the decision in a different context, and now all of a sudden it's something that you do together. It's something that gives you an opportunity to discuss or make decisions about your future. really makes it not so technical and really more about emotions, about your life, about your relationship. I think that tools like these have great promise and really can make a huge difference, especially for people who have that mental barrier.
Sounds like date night.
Exactly, yeah. If you want to go there, yeah.
Anair, thank you so much for joining us.
Okay, my pleasure. Thanks so much, Kate.
Anair Sella is an associate professor of marketing at the University of Florida's Warrington College of Business. He studies how individuals, we make decisions. Coming up, we're looking at city life versus the quality of life in small towns. We're breaking down data on regional and local inequality with new data from Gallup. That's after the news here on the Ideas Network.